Cheat, I'll let you cheat on this one if you want to look at the screen, but what have we been talking about for the last few weeks? You're like reading it, sounding it out. Ecclesia, which means what? Called out ones. What are we called out of? Sin and into what? What are we put into? Huh? Jesus, yeah, we're given a whole new identity, a whole new life. So we're called out of the world and sin is God's enemy, and He says, I'm going to make you my children. You're not my enemy anymore. You're actually part of my family, and I love you and accept you. You're on a whole different side of the battlefield now. And ecclesia is what we call the church, right? That's our word for church. And so we are the called out ones. If you're here tonight, you believe in Jesus Christ. He's called you out of sin in the world, and He's put you into Jesus and said, you're now in my family. You're my child. So we've been studying that for a few weeks and what the church does and what it is. Then we talked about, hey, the church actually does some stuff. If we believe in Christ, they do stuff for each other, right? We call it one anothering. But what is it that the church does for each other? You guys remember a few of those things? One of those things? What do we do for each other as the church? Think about what you do for other people as the church, right? And maybe you'll be like, oh, that's what we do, hopefully, because we're doing it. It's just such a letdown. Come on now. Junior high was like rattling stuff off, and they're in middle school. Forgiving. Thank you. Yes, we should forgive each other. We should confess sin to one another and apologize, right? And like be there for each other through sinful struggles. Rebuke. Last week we talked about you call people out when they're in sin in a loving way so that we can do what? Restore them. Yeah, thank you. Like, not just to hate you, but to bring you back to a healthy relationship with Jesus. What else? What are some other things? We get your pump primed now, your brain's moving and thinking. Pray. We pray for each other. That's our like biggest tool we have in our church tool belt or whatever. To like pray for each other. Like the best thing I could do for you is go before the God of creation who can do anything and everything and say, Lord, we need help. And so we looked at a bunch of different things, caring for each other, loving for each other, sharing each other's pain and joys. The church is doing everyday life together in all those ways. We're there for each other. And so as we look through all those different things, tonight we're actually going to finish our Ecclesia series. This is our last, what do you call it, message in the series. I was going to call it an episode, but this isn't like TV. We're going to see the result of what this whole deal is. All right, and you can read. So what is the result? Joy. The result of this fellowship that we have, we call ourselves the fellowship, is joy. And so that video up there you saw was like kind of funny, right? Obviously, like hopefully you've never been chased by a bear before in your life. You can't relate to that, but you're walking through the woods, you find a lady under a big log, and you help her. You're not like, I'm not a geologist, I can't pick up a rock. Like, you just do it. You help. You interact. And as the church, sometimes we do some very similar things. We find ourselves going, hey, listen, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a theologian. I'm not like a life group leader. I'm not a, name it, right? I'm not old enough. I'm not this enough. I don't speak well enough. And we list all of our like things before God and go like, we're not experts, so we can't do this. And God's saying, you're my church. You were designed to do this. Don't look at me and say, you can't. I made you to do this thing. The whole purpose of you being my church, this called out fellowship, this body, is to move. So He looks at you and says, look, you're a hand. You don't have to be an expert. I designed you to do things hands do. You're a foot. I designed you to walk. You're a mouth. I designed you to talk. So don't tell me you can't because you're not an expert. I made you the body. God's body moves and acts. And so I want to encourage us tonight. If you're sitting here and you came tonight, you're thinking like, I'm nothing like that special as far as that goes. You are. You're so special. God called you out of sin and made you something so incredible that you might not be what you would consider an expert, but you're exactly how God's designed you to be for His purpose. And so I want to encourage you to be the church tonight. Get that out of your mind as we study this and as we close on what the church is. So I want you to look with me in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Try to smile. Try to wake up. There feels like there's death in this room right now, and we're talking about joy. It's so anticlimactic. Somebody left. So Rachel, you're always the only one who left. Thank you so much. God bless your soul, young lady. I hope there's a special place in heaven for you. All right. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. Stop right there for a second. Who's he talking about? What's the word of life? Yeah, you're right. It's Jesus. Good job, everybody. It's Jesus that he's seen, right? This is John. John got to walk with Jesus. He was Jesus' best friend, most intimate disciple. And he says, the life was made manifest. He became real. He like became flesh, came to earth, and we've seen it with our own eyes, right? And testify to it. We can tell you personally about it. And proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Here's John. John is Jesus' best friend. I just said that. And he's telling us tonight a whole lot of words that describe seeing and touching and smelling and feeling and experiencing. Now, if I were to tell you, hey, listen, I heard from this dude whose uncle's brother's cousin told him that this happened to somebody else they know, and what happened was they were at the mall over in Texas somewhere, and this big spaceship came down in the parking lot, some green alien things got out, and with some antennas started eating people right there. Bam, they're just eating people all over. You'd be like, what redneck told you that, right? That's some conspiracy theory, like weird stuff going on, right? That ain't true. It's gossip. What if I said, I was over at the mall today, personally, today, this mall right here in Merritt Island, and as I was in the parking lot, all of a sudden this big crazy spaceship came down, and I go, oh my, sir, you'd be like, what? You saw it? Like, legitly, with your own eyes, you did, right? There's a different response. Because now I was there personally telling you, I saw it with my eyes. The alien like rubbed up and there's still some goop on my arm right here. Look at it, there's slime right here. Like I'm proving this to you. I saw it. I experienced. I touched it. I smelled it. It smelled like bacon. It was so weird. Right? Like whatever. But you get the, you see the difference? The difference is that John is telling us something that he personally experienced. So he keeps using those words over and over in those short, that short paragraph. I want you to know this isn't just something I heard from somebody somewhere. I'm the dude who was Jesus' best friend. Like as we ate meals together, I would rest my head back on him. Like that we would talk, we spent time together, we did ministry together. I saw him heal people right in front of my eyes. He's like, I touched the holes in his hand after he resurrected. Like me, I'm not just telling you what somebody might have happened, like told, said happened. Like, I saw this. Why is he making such a big deal out of it? Why is it so important to John that we know that he literally experiences himself and he needs us to know it so we can tell people the same thing? He uses the word eternal life. It's a word that most of us are so used to hearing in churches and from religious people that we blow it off so much. Eternal life, yeah, big deal. Yeah, I heard that. Cool. Yep, Titus tells us that every Sunday. Yep, Rob talks about it a lot. Eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. Do you really grasp what you've been given? Do you understand that the gift that God has given you means that you never die? That you have an eternity that you can't even fathom in your brain how long that is, to be with the God who created you. John's really pumped because John's talking about the greatest thing he can picture in his mind to ever talk about. And that's the news he gets to tell. Shame on me. But sometimes I'm just not that excited about it. Shame on me that sometimes I could talk about the gospel like it's just banter that we do when we're talking theologically with each other. It's what we do in a Bible study. And I forget the impact of how crazy, huge, and amazing this thing is. I'm going to live forever, y'all. I don't know about you. You don't believe it. You know, too bad for you. I am. I believe in Christ. I hope you believe it too. I hope you actually, as a believer in Jesus, as part of His church, grasp what you've been given. come along for this ride and say, holy cow, this is huge. John, I get why you're freaking out here. Like, this thing is so awesome. God forgave me and pulled me out of sin as His enemy and said I could live in His family forever. That's the craziest news I've ever heard, and it's awesome. He says, I tell you this, that you too may have fellowship with us, so you can be a part of this. You hear that? Fellowship. There's that word we've been talking about. The church is a fellowship. You know what fellowship, you like look into that word, it means partners. Partnership. So like you guys, and we're all like, if you believe in Jesus, we're teammates, we're partners. What are we partnering in to do? Don't teams have like goals to accomplish? What makes us partners? Well, I'm spitting everywhere. P words. It's fun. It's like bubbles and everything. What makes us partners? Partners. I'm Mickey Mouse now. What is it? Like, what's our goal? What's our mission? What are we told to do? We're supposed to come sit in a room, have some sweet lights flicker here and there, listen to Manny play the guitar, right? Rob's going to like yell at us for a little bit, spitting on Christian, and then we're going to leave. That's what we do. That's our mission, guys. Good job. Well done. Let's go. We're done, right? What's our mission? To spread the gospel, the news John is talking about right here. We just took 5 minutes talking about, like, that's good news, right? Eternal life for the world that's dying and going to hell while we sit and look at our pretty lights. Like, this is awesome news that should excite us, and it does more than excite us. Look, we are writing these things in verse 4. We're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. The fellowship gives us joy. He says that this fellowship is between us. He says, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. So this deal that we're in now, this team, this fellowship is between each of us and also us and God. And as we engage in that, as we're like, God, I need you. He gives us strength. And as we talk to each other, we encourage each other and remind us of this very news that gives us joy. Bro, you're not going to hell forever. You're not going to have to endure God's wrath forever. You're going to be in heaven with God forever. If that doesn't cause some joy in you, check again if you're saved. See if you actually buy this. See if someone sold you some funny story or some emotional orphan story, and then you're like, cool, and that's the extent of your Christianity, because you really have eternal life. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, this thing, God has saved you from hell. Rejoice, church. Get excited about this thing. We're looking at a culture in America of people that are just sitting in churches bored out of their minds with the gospel, and they don't care. And we're like, why are churches declining? Why don't people love Jesus anymore? How come? Because what are we doing with joy that we're supposed to have? We're just sitting back looking at our flickering lights. John's pumped. He's like, you need to hear this. I've experienced it with everything that I am. My whole life, I've seen Jesus. And I believe in eternal life. And as we fellowship with one another, I'm walking next to Christian going, bro, remember that Jesus loves you. Remember that He saved you. Remember that salvation is yours. And he's being encouraged and built up through that. And you know what that does? It builds his faith. He walks out the door, and after having talked to me, he encounters this like trial or this hard time or a struggle that kicks his butt. And he's like, wait a minute, but I just got reminded, God is stronger than this. God loves me. He saved me. And it builds his faith. And the next time he's able to talk to somebody else and go, hey, listen, David, like, I just went through this trial, but God got me through it. You need to remember God loves you. So when you face this temptation of sin in your life, you can look at it straight in the face and go, God loves me, save me from that. And you believe it, and you're stronger, and you encourage each other. And the point of this deal of fellowship, while we partner together, is so we grow in faith and believe what we're talking about. We stop calling it pretty stories that we just go, oh, that's a nice story. It's so great and inspiring. And we go, that's real. I saw it with my eyes. I smelled it with my nose. I tasted this. I experienced salvation, and I have eternal life, and you got to hear about it. I feel like that's why so many times in the Bible, authors of the Bible have been like, church, wake up. You're asleep. There's so many believers today that I talk to. As a pastor, I get to talk to a lot of people. They're just asleep. When's God going to wake us up? When's this thing going to be real for us? Because it's you and I in the room right now. It's us sitting here talking. Forget all those people in America and let's talk about you and me. Is this real for you? Is this salvation something that says, God, I know you did this. Believe it. Because if we don't have that, it's pointless to keep walking through the Christian life. You can't grow past this point. This is the point. Do you believe the gospel has absolutely saved you? And does it cause joy in your heart to say, holy cow, we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete, totally full, bursting out of us because Jesus saved me. I want you to hear the story of this girl who said, I believe this so much, I'm rearranging my entire life because it matters to me. Listen to this real quick. Everybody's got a different story and we all have different things that dominate our lives and our time. So your story may be totally different from hers. How much do you value who God's made you to be? Do you hear her say, I know now that I'm a daughter of the King. He's taken us out of that and made us His children. It changes our lives. And these idols that we have, whether it be your schedule or a sport or some person in your, whatever it is that's stopping you from saying, God, I want to follow you. Will you give it up to say, Lord, you've made me Jesus's. I belong to Christ. And will you be willing to give those things up to follow Him? Now, I want to show you the verses tonight in Acts chapter 2. If you guys have opened there real quick, Acts 2 verses 46 and 47. I just want to look at two verses tonight. And we're going back to the early church, like right when the church started, and we're going to see this joy that we're talking about tonight and how it affected them. Like right away, God, there's Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down, this first church forms of people that believe in Jesus and they live a certain way like we're talking about. They're one anothering, they have this fellowship with each other. They're looking to God through His Word and prayer. And so there's fellowship with God, and something happens. This crazy joy happens inside of them. I want you to see it in verse 46 of Acts chapter 2. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Did you hear a phrase that was repeated twice just in those two verses? Did you hear the phrase? What did he say two times in two verses? Day by day, right? How often is that? Every single day. It doesn't leave out a day. This is like a daily thing. A few weeks ago, we talked about this verse and we talked about how it said that like there's this rhythm in our life that happens daily of going to church, being among the body of Christ and studying God's Word together. And so being here is an example of that. Like there's a regular time that we come together and we study God's Word and worship and pray and encourage each other. And then it says that they go to their homes. That could be your family. That could be your small group. That could be like a class at school, like an intimate setting where you're practicing what you're studying here. We come and we talk about joy. Are we living with joy out there? We talk about forgiving one another. Are we forgiving people out there? Because if not, we're wasting our time. All these hours we could get back of talking about things we're never going to do. But God designed it so this rhythm would be in our life where we come and we study together and then we go do it together. We go practice and obey what God's Word says. And so it says breaking this bread in their homes. They did it in their small areas of their life. But rhythms are really important. Now what if... Think about all the natural rhythms you have in your life. What if we were to take a whole week and you just stop that rhythm of whatever the thing was? Like, let's say eating. You didn't eat for an entire week. Most of us, our natural rhythm of eating is like three times a day, right? Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Some of us 20 times a day, right? We eat a little bit more, right? So there's this rhythm, but whatever your rhythm might be, a whole week of interrupting that rhythm, all right, that's going to cause some discomfort. You might get a little weak. You might not have the energy you need. Your stomach's making some crazy noises, right? Some of us just get really grumpy, like Betty White without a Snickers bar or whatever, like that commercial. But what? Let's look at a few others. What about water? What if you just no water for an entire week? What happens? You're dead. You can't even live without it that long. What about air? Breathing, no breathing. That rhythm of breathing a whole week, you got to go a week. You can't even last more than like 10 minutes without your brain dying without oxygen, right? So that rhythm of breathing, there's other things. What if you couldn't use the restroom for a whole week? Some of you guys think a car ride with like Jim Johnson's hard, right? Like, no, we're not stopping. Like, what if you had to go a whole week and hold it? Like, that's not a healthy rhythm for using the bathroom. How about sleep? Go an entire week without sleep. Some of you guys are grumpy if you don't sleep like 12 hours a day and you're going to go the whole week. How about exercise? You're like, amen, I don't want to do any exercise. Take that away. Yeah, right. What if I put you in a straitjacket, right? One of those things, like handcuffed you all up in those little white rooms and didn't even let you move at all. No exercise, nothing. You would be cramping up and feeling so claustrophobic and terrible after like a few minutes, never mind like a whole week like that. It's terrible. You need that rhythm in your life of exercise. How about talking? Some of you guys, oh my goodness, talking. You just die. Or your phone. No phone. Like, that's not even a rhythm. That's just something you want to do. But do you see what I'm trying to say here? That your life has natural rhythms built into it. And God's like, you guys pay attention to the physical ones really well because your stomach growls when you're hungry and reminds you. But what about your spiritual life? The more important of the two. What about eternity as opposed to your investment in these 80 years on earth? If we're lucky, why are you not investing in eternity? It's a bigger investment. But all of our rhythms are spent here, and we're not taking care of the things that we need to. We're not feeding ourselves spiritually, reading God's Word. We're not praying and talking to our Creator. We're not engaged in the fellowship with one another. That rhythm's so important, and this church was doing that day by day, every day in this rhythm. And something happened. As they're fellowshipping with each other, fellowshipping with God, that fellowship resulted in something. And look at what it says next. They received their food with glad, that means joyful, glad and generous hearts. It produced joy in them. They're like getting to know their God and saying, Lord, you really did this for me. You really, truly died for me and have given me salvation and I can trust you. And that produces a joy in us. And so these people saw that joy in their hearts and they became generous and they served people, it says. Like they would literally go out and take their house and sell it and take the money from their house and then give to the people who like couldn't feed their kids. And they're like, what? You just sold your house, bro. Like they're selling all their stuff and serving other people by giving them their money from it. They're making sure that nobody has need. Why? Because their need, their greatest need was taken care of and they believed it was their greatest need, salvation. A lot of us who don't act that way, it's because we don't believe salvation is really our greatest need. If I were to tell you to pretend tonight that you weren't saved, as a lot of us in this room are, you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you're sitting here tonight, what if you were here not saved and you're just thinking about your future, you're thinking about eternity? What kind of thoughts pass through your mind as you're facing hell forever? What if you tonight had to think, I'm going to die and burn in a lake of fire forever, experiencing God's wrath? I'm going to die as an enemy of God. Now, luckily, if you're a believer tonight, God, I told you, took you out of that and saved you because He doesn't want you to stay there and He made you His child. He says, you're having eternity with me in paradise. But there's a world out there, y'all, that are sitting over here. There's people that are thinking that tonight, that are going, I don't know where I'm going. I am facing hell. I don't know what's going to happen. It's a lady under a tree going, can you at least tell me how to get to heaven, dude? You're a Christian. And you're like, oh, I'm not an expert. I can't do that. I'm missing a joy in my heart that says this thing's real and you need to know it. These people did something because of this joy that filled up in them. Look, it says that they were praising God. They weren't just sitting around playing guitars like doing worship, which is awesome. I love doing that. But that's not just what they were doing. their whole life, remember, this rhythm became marked by people who just didn't stop talking about the awesome stuff God did for them. Like, Lord, you saved me forever. How am I not going to talk about that? That's such incredible news. It overshadows everything else I could possibly talk about. It's coming out of my mouth because I really believe it's true. Now, like, if you go to a concert that you really like, what do? The whole time of the concert, you scream like little girls, right? Until you have no voice left. You go to a football game and you scream every time Tom Brady throws an amazing pass, right, to a touchdown, and like, which happens like every 2 seconds. So like, we're screaming a lot, so we lose our voice. We're like, God, did you see that? That was amazing! And we're like screaming praises for this awesome stuff that we're seeing around us. You can list the things that we praise all day long, that we love, that we talk about, that we're like, you've got to hear about this. Talk till our voices are gone, but when it comes to the most important, incredible news that we have, do we praise that? Do we go, God, I can't believe you did this? Do we tell the people around us that? Is it pouring out of our mouth, y'all? They're praising God by the way they were acting, serving each other, loving each other, and with their mouths talking about it. You know, that's evangelism. Sometimes we think of evangelism as this awkward thing where you get to put a suit and tie and you walk and knock on people's doors and like have that weird little piece of paper and wear a sign that like says like, don't go to hell, or like, and you're standing on the street. That's evangelism, everybody. Let's go do it. And it's really awkward and weird. If you died today, where would you go? And like, you're like a robot and you ask that same question. That's not evangelism. It kind of is evangelism, but it's not what God designed here. He's saying that praising Him is evangelism. It's actually that easy. The fact that you believe it enough and love Him enough that you can't stop talking about what He's done to save you, that flows out of you in true, genuine, organic evangelism. I was like, you have to know this. This happened to me, like John said at the beginning. I've experienced it. I've tasted it. You need to know. And I got to tell you because God's just that awesome. And as they did that, you know what? The people around them started to like go, what's going on? It says that, and having favor with all the people, like they're serving people. I told you they're selling their stuff, their house, and like taking care of people who are in need. And like they're doing this crazy stuff because they're full of joy. And they're like, God did it for me. I'm doing it for you. And all of a sudden the people that like probably hated them are looking at them. They're starting to like them. Like, these Christians aren't that bad. Like, there's something different about them. I see something in them. Now, the Bible does tell us that the world hates Christ, right? And so they'll probably hate us too. We're going to be hated. We should expect that. But that doesn't mean the gospel can't impact somebody's heart and change them as we bring it to them. And so this church is bringing literally the gospel to these hard-hearted people all around them that don't know Christ, and they hate Christians because they're not Christians, and they're going, why are you serving me? I hate you. Like, literally, I hate you. Why would you do this for me? I know I hate you. I feel it inside. I can't stand that you even came to my door right now. And you're still loving me. Why? This doesn't make sense. All of a sudden, their heart starts to change because they're encountering a love that doesn't make sense. They're encountering Jesus' love. The love that should be pouring out of our mouth because we're like, I can't believe it either. It's amazing, isn't it? I don't even know why I'm doing this. It's because Jesus did this. You might have somebody in your life that you know just cannot stand you. Like, they hate you. You don't even want to walk by them because you know that person hates my guts. And I just wonder that if you walked with a different way, like, into their life in a way that said, like, I know you hate me, but I love God and I love you and I want to show you that and I want to serve you, and you were persistent. No matter how much they hate you, no matter how mean they are to you, no matter what they do, you are emulating Jesus as they spit on Him and put nails into His hands and feet on a cross and hated Him, and yet He looked back and said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How's it any different? These people are saying, I know you hate me, but I'm going to love you no matter what. And all of a sudden, I wonder if those people in your life would start to change because they rubbed up against the love of Christ when they met you. And all of a sudden they're going, what? And you gain favor with those people. And it's an amazing thing, because look what happens next because of that. And the Lord added to their number day by day. These people are getting saved. These people are believing it because you're not just saying it. You're living it out. You're proving it. They're not just hearing a story from Joe's aunt's uncle's mother. They're seeing it in front of their eyes now because you're being Jesus to them. And the love you're showing them is the love that put nails in through Jesus' hands and feet. And they're going, I'm seeing it happen right here. And Jesus is living through you literally right now as you do this. And I'm experiencing the gospel. And you are preaching the gospel louder than ever by being this way to me. I can't, holy cow. I can't deny this. And they're getting saved. And it says that day by day this is happening, that God was doing this work. You see that correlation back to the beginning where they were doing what day by day? In fellowship with God. They're meeting with God. They're hearing from Him in His Word and praying. They're encouraging each other in the fellowship. That fellowship is happening, that rhythm of life. And in the same way as that fellowship is happening, it's resulting in something. Day by day, because of it, people are getting saved. People are watching that happen and go, I need Jesus. God's called you to be Christ to the world, and that's not some trendy, fancy Christian way to say things to get people to do stuff. That's a reality if you believe it. He died for you. He's given you eternal life. And He's calling you with a mission as partners to get up and say, go live this. Let other people have firsthand experience with Jesus as you enter their life and live for them in a sacrificial way. Are you willing to be that person? Is that joy in you that says, Christ, I truly believe this. And I want to live on mission for you. You know, He says, and the Lord added to their number. I'm not asking you to go do it. Jesus isn't asking you to go change people's hearts. Because you can't. I can't. I can get up here every single night and not one person will get saved. That's not my fault. God does the work. So if someone gets saved, I don't get the credit. God looks in your heart and goes, it's time. And He knocks on your heart and He says, listen, all He's calling you and me to do is be obedient and do what He's saying. To love Him and love others. And then God's going to come along and do the work. And it says He's adding to their number. He's not just getting a bunch of bandwagon people. You're like, after like the Patriots win every single Super Bowl, all of a sudden after they win, like everybody's a Patriots fan for like 2 weeks. You know, yeah, you guys know. You all have bumper stickers I've seen on your cars. So that idea of after 2 weeks, I'm no longer a Patriot, so I'm going back to my team. Or whatever team wins, everybody's kind of like jumps on the bandwagon. They're so cool. But first time they lose the next game, everybody's like, oh, forget them. That's not the type of Christian we're talking about here that gets added. That just, oh, there's some new attraction at the church. Let's all go check that church out. There's a new preacher over there. He's probably really good. Let's go hear him. Oh, they get a new worship band. They're probably awesome. Let's go check that out. Let's jump around and find the new coolest thing to do in church. Nobody's actually remembering why we go. We're going because God actually came to earth. And He saved you through His death. And you either believe it or you don't. And when you do, holy cow, the joy that fills up inside of you. Because you actually truly believe this thing happened. And I want to see God use you guys to impact our community in this way, to go out and love your friends and love your neighbors, to go into your schools and show them that this thing is real. I want you to know that, for you to experience what it's like to say, God, I surrender, use me, I want to do this thing. And to see God step up and do it through you. Will you close your eyes for 1 second? I'm going to do things a little different tonight. I just want to know who I'm talking to for a second. So if you're here and you're like, Rob, that is me. Like, I'm a believer. I trust in Jesus Christ with all my heart. I'm saved. Will you just raise your hand up for me so I can see, like, I believe in Jesus. Keep your hand there. I know your hand might be sore and tired. Whatever. Deal with it. If your hand's up right now, can you just answer this question to yourself in your heart? Where's the joy? Can you look into your heart and go, there it is. That joy blows my mind. There it is. It's right there. Or you having a hard time struggling through there going, man, I don't know if I can find this, if I'm that excited, or if I really believe He did this. You put your hand out so you're not crying. I know some of you guys are tired. But I want you to keep thinking. Do you have the joy? Do you really believe it? And if so, if you're like, yeah, Rob, it's right there. I love Christ. I'm so grateful for what He did. Is it ever flowing out of you to other people? Or are you being selfish with it? You're just sitting back like, I love that I'm saved. Is it flowing out of you so you serve others and you gain favor with the people and God adds to our number? Are you praising Him so people hear what He's done? I encourage you, if that's you, do it. Take that step. Tell people about this incredible thing He's done in your heart and believe it's real. Let me ask just those of you, the rest of you who didn't raise your hand tonight. You're not sure you have that joy. You're not sure you're saved. Do you think maybe tonight God might be calling you out of sin and out of the world? He's calling you into His ecclesia and He's like, listen, I want to call you out of this. I want to give you salvation and it's real. It's firsthand. It's here tonight for you. And you're like, Rob, that's me. Like, I want to know Christ. I want that joy. Will you just slip your hand up and say, like, that's me. I need to get saved. I don't have that joy. I don't have salvation. You just put your hand in there so I can pray for you. That's all I want to do. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know that you're asking for prayer tonight. And I want to pray for you guys right now. I want to ask God to do a work inside of us and fill us with joy. Father, thank You for what You've done. Jesus, thank You that You truly died for us. Lord, salvation and eternity, they're ours. We've been forgiven. God, thank You. Affirm that in our hearts so deep that we never forget. Cause us to believe it with everything that we are. Use the church to remind each other, Father, we can continue to believe and trust in You. Christ, fill us with a joy that overflows in other people. That praise pours out of our lips, that we're always talking, God, about how amazing You are and what You've done for us. Jesus, be glorified. For those that are in here that raise their hand, God, and they need joy, I pray, Lord, that You give that to them. For those who don't know You as their Savior, God, I pray You'd knock on their heart, that You'd show them how incredible You are, Father, and call them to Yourself that they could get saved, Lord. We love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray.